there's people out there who reject Christ and they don't ask God to do His will in their lives. And when you don't have God in the equation, a lot of mistakes can happen.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is the book of John, chapter 18.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Well, we're in the book of John, chapter 18, and we're going to go through the scriptures where Jesus is secretly arrested and Peter denies Jesus three times. This is going to be one busy night for Jesus and his disciples. Let's get started now in the book of John, chapter 18, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come on him, went forth and said to them, "Whom seek you?" So Jesus has just gotten finished praying to the Father when Judas and the officers who were going to arrest Jesus show up on the scene. Jesus never loses control of what's going to happen. Remember, Jesus voluntarily laid his life down for us. Nobody took his life. And to show that he is still in control of the situation, Jesus goes out to address the gang of people who are about to arrest him. Verse 5, they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Imagine for a moment a gang of officers coming to arrest Jesus, and when he speaks the words, "I am he," all of them fall backwards and hit the ground. The Bible doesn't elaborate as to why this happened, but we can only imagine that when Jesus spoke his name of the great I am, perhaps he showed them a glimpse of his deity. And they were all amazed, so amazed they were stunned, and they fell backwards to the ground. We don't know how much of a glimpse Jesus gave them, but nonetheless, what they saw in Jesus made them back up and fall in shock. Imagine on the day of judgment when God shows his face to the world. Imagine how every knee will bow. Believers will rejoice, and unbelievers will weep. Verse 7, then asked he them again, "Whom seek you?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, "Of them which you gave me have I lost none." Jesus is in the role of the great shepherd. He is protecting his sheep. He's protecting his disciples. He is telling these men who are there to arrest him, "If you're looking for me, then you have the right man. As for the rest of them, let them go their way." A lot of people believe that the soldiers that came to arrest Jesus were of Roman authority, but they weren't. because it was very unlikely that Pilate would release any of his Roman soldiers to be under the authority of any of the Jews. So more than likely, we are looking at Jewish authority here arresting Jesus in secret. Besides, why would Pilate want to get into the middle of this big mess that they're about to create for the Romans in the middle of the night by offering up his soldiers? It's highly unlikely that he would have done so. Verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Micah. Then said Jesus to Peter, put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Peter was still thinking in the flesh, and he reacted. Understand that Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and the cup that he's referring to is the cup of wrath for sin that God must pour out on Jesus in order for Jesus to become sin for us, and that he might die as the sacrificial lamb and become our sacrifice. Still, Peter is getting in the way, and Jesus rebukes him. Shall I not drink it? Notice that Peter got in front of Jesus, pulled out his sword, and gets himself into potential trouble. And immediately Jesus steps in to save Peter from himself, actually. We have to be very careful in our spiritual walk that we don't get in front of Jesus, because we can get in the way of God's plans. Peter, at this moment, was in Jesus's way because he was in front of Jesus. He was acting outside of the teachings of Jesus. Jesus never taught anything about drawing swords on people and cutting people's ears off. Peter went his own way and got in front of Jesus. And Jesus rebuked him and took control of the situation. When you find yourself in front of God, you need to pray that he puts you back in line so that you continue to follow Jesus. Otherwise, you're going to get sidetracked and get yourself into some trouble. Verse 12, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Annas was a former high priest, and Caiaphas was the current high priest. So you might be asking, why did they take Jesus to him first? Well, the main reason is that Annas was a very wealthy, influential, and corrupt Jewish leader at the time. And he had a lot of influence. In fact, people believed that even though he was not appointed high priest, he still ruled alongside in authority with Caiaphas. So they took Jesus there first. Verse 14, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was beneficial that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spoke to her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Some people believe that this unknown disciple was actually John himself, and that he was being humble by not mentioning his own name in reference to knowing the high priest. But John was a fisherman, and the likelihood of him knowing the high priest personally and being able to get Peter in, who was also a fisherman, well, it wasn't very high. So we have to tend to believe that this was either Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea. These are sometimes referred to as the secret disciples of Jesus Christ, and they actually helped bury Jesus. Verse 17, then said the girl that kept the door to Peter, are not you also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coal, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. You have to picture the scene. Peter is sitting outside. His Lord, Jesus, is inside, being persecuted, being accused falsely, and he is outside warming himself, and he has already denied Jesus for the first time. He'll be doing it two more times before the cock crows. I can't imagine what Peter must have felt inside when he had done that. I don't think he realized what Jesus said prior to this about him denying him three times. I don't think he realized it at this point, but he must have felt something, some kind of conviction when he spoke out the words that he was not a disciple of Jesus. And he must have been very afraid. At this point, Peter didn't want to be associated with Jesus because, well, Jesus was in a lot of trouble. Peter didn't want to find himself in trouble with Jesus. Verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why ask you me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said to them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answer you the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why strike you me? The high priest wants to know about what Jesus was teaching and what involvement his disciples had in those teachings along with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, look, I was out in the open teaching this stuff to everybody, and I wasn't doing anything in secret. Everybody knew what I was doing, and nobody had anything to say while I was doing it. And if you want to know what I had to say and what I taught about, you need to ask the many witnesses. In other words, they don't have to take Jesus' word for it. They could ask just about anybody that was around him. Surely, if Jesus did something wrong, well, they would be able to find somebody to collaborate that he'd done something wrong. So Jesus was challenging them to produce witnesses. Of course, this answer caused the officer standing by to hit him with the palm of his hand, and Jesus asks him, if I've spoken something that was evil, then tell me what that evil was. But if I didn't speak anything evil, then why are you hitting me? Jesus didn't say anything wrong. So this just shows the attitude that they had towards Jesus at this hearing, this secret illegal hearing. They had no right to be arresting Jesus. He had committed no wrong. Yet these people come in the middle of the night to arrest him and then to question him and then to start hitting on him, abusing him, all which is illegal. Even in Jesus' day, this was illegal. Verse 24, now Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore to him, Are not you also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. Jesus is being carted off to go see Caiaphas. All the while, Peter is still outside warming himself, and now he's challenged to admit that he is a disciple of Jesus Christ by two other people. And still, he denies it. He denies it two more times for a total of three times in one night, and immediately, the cock crowed. Jesus had already predicted that he was going to do this. You could only imagine the sinking feeling that Peter had. But it also shows us just how in control Jesus was. He knew down to the moment when Peter would deny him the third time. Whenever you find yourself being persecuted, don't think for a moment that God has abandoned you. Don't think for one second that the people who are attacking you for your beliefs in Christ are unknown to God. He knows exactly who they are. He knows exactly what they're doing. And he knows exactly how to handle the situation. God is always in control. Even as Jesus was going through this very difficult night of suffering, God was still showing that he's in control. Verse 28, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." Now, it's kind of ironic to think about it, but the very person that they're leading in is the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Yet these people, they don't want to defile themselves so that they might have to miss out on the feast of the Passover. And yet they are leading the Lamb of God to the slaughter. Verse 29, "Pilate then went out to them and said, 'What accusation bring you against this man?' They answered and said to him, 'If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you.' Then said Pilate to them, 'Take you him and judge him according to your law.' The Jews therefore said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put any man to death,' that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die." Now see, Pilate had already had enough trouble with the Jews. The last thing he wanted was more of a mess to deal with. So he was immediately trying to get Jesus out of the picture. He was trying to wash his hands from the very start of Jesus. He knew when he saw these people coming, this was not going to be good. And what did they answer Pilate? They had in their mind to kill Jesus right from the start. And so they tell Pilate, "We can't judge him because we can't put anybody to death." See, the Romans wouldn't let the Jewish people to put anybody to death. Only the Romans could do that. And so the Jews didn't have the right under Roman rule to put Jesus to death. And it was their intentions to find him guilty and to execute him. But they couldn't do it without the Romans' help. And of course, Jesus had already spoken that he was going to be crucified, but he said it metaphorically. He said it in a parable, but nonetheless, he predicted it. This is just another sign that Jesus was in total control throughout this entire process. Verse 33, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Say you this thing of yourself, or did others tell it you of me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here.'" So Jesus was letting Pilate know that he is not the ruler of this world. You see, Satan, at this time, is the ruler of this world. And Jesus was letting him know that I'm not the ruler of this world, because if I was, my disciples, my followers, the people who adore me, they would be fighting on my behalf, and this wouldn't be happening. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Well, he is, but he is choosing not to rule the world at this time. And what I mean by that is that Jesus is coming a second time. Judgment Day is coming, where God will set his kingdom up and Jesus will rule alongside with all of us Christians. But as for now, the devil is apparently running things. But don't kid yourself. God is still in control. He's just not exercising total control. This is a deep subject, because if God can be in control of everything, how is it that Jesus says this is not his kingdom? Well, think about it this way. I'm going to go off on a little rabbit trail here, but just follow me, because this is so important. God made people with a free will, and that free will gives us the option to come to God in love or reject him and go our own way. When we encounter the devil in our lives, he is usually tempting us with something. He's trying to coax us into making a decision for the wrong way or for God's way. Now, because Satan exists, humans have a choice in life. They have a choice to serve God or not to serve God. If you were to take Satan out of the equation from the very beginning, if Satan never existed, we would never know what it would be like to be away from God. But because Satan is in the equation, we now see, when we come to God as Christians, the difference. We see what it's like to be without God, and we see what it's like to be with God. And we are then able to make an educated decision on who we want to serve. This is why it's so important for Christians to be a witness for God, a holy witness, not just some person who shows up to church and pays their tithes and goes home and doesn't do any witnessing. We have to show the unbeliever what God is like so that they have the chance to come to God, so that we can lead them to God through our witnessing. If they don't see God in us, how are they going to be coaxed to come to Him? So it's important that each and every Christian portrays the characteristics of God, that we allow God to grow our fruits, the fruit of the spirits within us, so that we become better witnesses. Somebody once asked me, why do so many bad things happen in the world? If God is in control, why doesn't He stop the bad things from happening? If human beings are to be totally free-willed, then God has to be very careful as to what He decides to get Himself mixed up in. Does this make sense? Jesus at this time was telling Pilate, this is not my kingdom, but He's still a king. You see, when a king rules over everything, he has the authority to choose not to rule over certain regions. When God created man, He gave authority over everything to man, and man forfeited that to Satan. Adam and Eve fell, and when they fell, the devil obtained the authority over the world. When Jesus comes back, and He is the second Adam, He will defeat the devil, and He will rule over all of God's people. And the people who rejected God out of their own free will, they will be separated from God for all eternity. I know I got really deep into that, but I wanted to make sure that it was very clear that people understand that just because Jesus decided not to rule over the world at this time doesn't mean He doesn't have the option to do so. You know, you got to understand that God has the ability to control everything, but a true, loving, compassionate God will not interfere in the history of mankind on every little tidbit unless He's invited to do so. See, as Christians, we invite God, or we should be inviting God, to come into our lives and to be Lord over our lives. But there's people out there who reject Christ and they don't ask God to do His will in their lives. And when you don't have God in the equation, a lot of mistakes can happen. So we live in a fallen world, and bad things happen when Satan plays his tricks on people. Accidents happen and people get killed. Murders happen and people get killed. Disease happen and people get killed. And marriages break apart and families suffer. This is not God's will. This is the devil's will, and people are submitting to it by rejecting God. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said to Him, are You a king then? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears My voice. Pilate is concerned that Jesus is trying to make Himself out to be a king, because only Caesar could be king at this time. Anybody that said that they were a king under Caesar's rulership, well, that meant you had to die, because there was only one king, Caesar. So Pilate was trying to make sure that Jesus wasn't trying to make Himself out to be the king of Rome or the king of anything. Verse 38, Pilate said to Him, what is truth? And when He had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release to you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release to you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. So the Jews didn't want anything to do with Jesus, even though he was raising the dead, he was healing the sick, and causing the lame to walk and the lepers to be clean. That's because the ruling Jews at that time were so corrupt, so selfish, so greedy, that they did not want Jesus around. Because Jesus was teaching against their doctrine. Their doctrine, by the way, was not the doctrine of the Old Testament. They had taken the Old Testament, they had taken God's word, and they had twisted it to the point where it benefited no one but themselves. They robbed the widows, they robbed the peasants, they only wanted power and prestige for themselves. And they saw Jesus as a threat to all of that. Why? For the main part, the whole region, everybody that came into contact with Jesus was following him. And they feared that they would make Jesus king over them. And of course, Jesus openly rebuked the Jewish authorities in that day. So they knew that if Jesus was made king by the people, they would be the first to go under his rulership. Of course, you and I know that that was not Jesus' intentions at all. The people in Jesus' day totally missed their Messiah. But we have the New Testament, and we know who Jesus is. We know that Jesus came for the very purpose of dying for each and every one of our sins.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.